today I want to talk about reestablishing the connection between your father energy and you. Let's face it, it takes two to tango. One of those two was your father. If what Christ says in the book, Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, is true, one of the two energies that constitutes the universe as we know it is an energy that we could accurately call father energy. We may say that our fathers and those of us who are fathers may or may not have been very effective in the expression of this aspect, the father energy aspect, of our beings. But that energy was available to us, and it is now available to you. It's been available whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a kitten or a puppy or a duck. It is available to us. In some families, women perceive the father and father energy as threats to their control, and consequently they demonize them and propagandized against them to their own children. In 2004, at the funeral of my oldest sister, Daphne, one of my other older sisters, Patty, said to me that she realized that almost all of her bad feelings about our father came from what our mother said about him to her. I agreed that that was true with me as well. Parents who badmouth their other parent, their spouse, to their own, or ex-spouse, to their own children, are being destructive. They are giving suggestions and, in some cases, commands to hate half of themselves. This can turn into a really big problem for a child as they grow, as he and she or she disowns and separates from their own access to that father energy, which makes up part of them. I love the idea that everything in the known and unknown universe is electromagnetic. That makes sense to me. I constantly see that idea validated and reinforced in scientific articles, books about energy, books about health, and so on. It seems to be all over the place, this idea of electromagnetism. And what's nice about it, it's an idea that can be grasped by us. It's not too far out there that people go, yep, I think I got that. I think I understand that. Because magnets fascinate children of all ages and have for how many centuries? It's been on and on. Except what's weird is, despite all the sophistication that we have now technologically, we still don't fully understand why electromagnetism or magnetism exists at all. We just can't seem to get that. If we look at and examine the human behavior, not only the behavior that you and I express, but the human behavior that we see other people express, we can pretty much validate that Christ's description of father energy as being electric and mother energy as being magnetic. And I think of that in terms of just reproduction. When we think of a father planting a seed, that's that electric input, that idea, and then from that point on, the mother is magnetically drawing to her everything necessary in order to bring that seed, that idea, to life. Both of us, men and women, have this capacity. We have the electric nature and we have the magnetic nature. And disowning half of that, or in some cases, horribly, we disown both aspects of ourselves and then go through life struggling due to being underpowered. I've been watching a video online, 90 minutes on my computer. That's a long time to watch a video, and it's taken me days to do it. I finished it yesterday. And the movie was about Nikola Tesla. You know, he was a genius, but somehow he got overlooked. He got passed by. And, you know, that's a whole different story unto itself. But he had an understanding of electromagnetism and other processes that he thought that power was available free or at very, very low cost to everybody on planet Earth. to light lights, to move appliances, to power equipment, to create jobs, and on and on and on and on. This is the guy that is the reason you and I use alternating current to power the computer and power the lights and power the phone I'm talking on and perhaps the phone you're listening on. It's like, he's the one. And when he was a proponent of that, he was in direct conflict with Thomas Edison, who believed that direct current was a solution, although it was really disadvantageous. It couldn't be moved over long distances, but because he had invested so much of his human capital, if you will, his reputation in direct current, he and other people were unbelievably cruel to Nikola Tesla. In July 1969, I was on leave from the Army back in my hometown, and my mother and two of my sisters, one older sister, Mary, and my younger sister, Anne, taught me how to do automatic writing. And I spent the next 4 or 5 nights doing the automatic writing. And frankly, that was the most spiritually exciting and reassuring time of my life up until October 14, 2010, when I was sent the Christ letters. In automatic writing, though, during those nights at my mother's house, I was the official asker of questions, because whenever I put my hand on the planchette, it wouldn't move. But when any other two people, my then wife Marie, either of my two sisters or my mother, touched the planchette, it would move in response to a question. So I asked the questions. The planchette is that device with the pen sticking through it that is resting on a piece of paper, so when it moves, it is making the marks on the paper. So of the 100 questions that I asked over that time, we asked about everything, life and death, heaven and hell, destiny, our children, on and on and on and on and on. My brother George, who happened to be in Vietnam at that time, all kinds of questions. One was about my destiny. And I don't recall the exact words of the answer, except I was told that my destiny was to be involved with force fields or fields of force. Force fields are electromagnetic fields, as I now know. Based upon everything that I read and study and I think about, illness is the result of the diminished energy in the magnetic field of a cell in our body, or groups of cells that we call organs, or in the body as an entirety. When that energy in that field of a cell, of an organ, of a body diminishes, we will recognize that over time as being the migration from dis-ease to disease. If there are only two energies in existence, I'll say electricity / father energy and magnetism / mother energy, it makes sense to know more about them and to have more of those energies active in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies, and in our lives. And simplistically, if we could say, you know, I either have an insufficiency of one or both of those things. And in other words, I have an imbalance of energy, you're going to be able to see it in a person's thinking, their feeling, their words, and their actions. You go, So I don't know if it's possible to have too much of father energy and or too much of mother energy. So the solution becomes to reduce them. It makes more sense to me to increase the one that is lacking, so there's a balance. None of us want to reduce our energy, so less and less and less and less and less. So that seems like not a good idea. This image comes to mind. You ever hear this thing? It's like, oh, my table is out of balance. The four legs of this table are out of balance. The rule that is always talked about is never saw off, never reduce the length of a table in order to balance the legs of a table. And you can imagine, you know, jokingly almost, that I just removed a couple of inches off to one side. No, still unbalanced. Let me remove a couple more inches. Let me remove a couple more inches. And pretty soon that table is, you know, 4 or 5 inches off the floor. It's like, that wasn't a good strategy. So reducing in order to get back into balance doesn't seem to be the solution to me. Adding or allowing or opening up to the energy that is insufficient makes more sense to me. I'm no scientist, but I've been interested in science for a long time. I've always loved the demonstration I saw when I was a child. This was, I don't know what grade it was in. It probably occurs in kindergarten at this point, but it was certainly way above that in my day. A nail was driven into a board, right? They hit the nail with a hammer a couple of times, and then took copper wire and wrapped around that nail, and then looked at it and said, no magnetism in the nail, no magnetism when it had a copper wire wrapped around it. But then when they connected the two ends of the wire, one to each terminal of a dry cell battery, now all of a sudden you couldn't see anything different. There's nothing apparent in the nail or the copper wire. You couldn't see the magnetic field. But the iron filings that we've had to prove this point, now all of a sudden were attracted to the magnet. Like, wow, that's interesting. Like, that was the first time I ever saw it and appreciated it, although I saw kitchen magnets and little horseshoe magnets that I would have played with as a kid. But to see the fact that electricity was being sent from that battery through the wire and then back to complete the circuit, it's like, wow. There's got to be some meaning here that I've got to grasp. And so I've been on this trail way before 1969, from at least that point. There's an exciting, a very exciting actually, reference in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth in Letter 7. So I read it to Marianne. I was so impressed with it. She says, you understand stuff like that, Tom, but... you know, that's hard for me to get my mind around. Would you mind if I just edited it a little bit? I said, no, go ahead, sweetie. And so I'm going to read you her version. She just changed a few words in it, so it resonated a little bit better with her, and I would think maybe with most people. While you have received your life initially from the divine, you also draw your physical energy from your food and digestive processes. These processes manufacture enzymes which break down the food into a usable form which feed your cells throughout your body and mind. This is the life of the body. Many people live and die drawing on the energy from their physical processes exclusively. Frankly, you can think of that about the water you drink or whatever else you drink, or breathing, those physical processes. The type and amount of energy drawn in is greatly affected by the mental, electrical, and emotional magnetic field of the person. That mental electric is the father aspect of us, and the emotional magnetic field is the mother aspect of us. These electrical and magnetic fields surround every living thing, from an amoeba to an elephant to a human being. They are the personal life force radiations from the soul. They combine with the person's awareness, consciousness radiations, including the mental activity, father energy, along with the emotional bonding, rejecting impulses. Think of mother energy. These electrical magnetic fields are profoundly affected by all the thoughts and feelings which pass through the minds and emotions of the person. In turn, the fields profoundly affect the physical processes of the body itself. They raise or lower the health of the body according to the state of the personal awareness or consciousness of that person. This happens because we are either in harmony with the life force radiations of divine intelligence, love, or in conflict with them due to selfish ego drives. A miserable person dwindles and dies, a happy person flourishes. This is a basic fact of existence. In the final analysis, a person, each living person, feeds upon its own inner state of contentment or frustration. I love that statement. I love that. And you think of it, What we want to do is connect more fully to these two energy forms which constitute us, the Father energy and Mother energy. And today, because it's Father's Day here in the United States, that's why I'm speaking about reestablishing the connection between you and your Father energy. Here are two facts. What our fathers did, they did. Period. What our fathers didn't do, they didn't do. Period. All the stories we've heard about our fathers, except for the facts, have been made up. The meanings of what they did and didn't do are made up. The stories we tell ourselves or other people have told us, they're made up. They're made up. They're perceptions of the person who's doing the making up. If the stories that we tell about ourselves, who are fathers, or about ourselves and that father energy that constitutes us, and our physical fathers that we have, if those stories that we tell ourselves and we listen to don't increase our electricity and our magnetism, it's time to change our stories. We want to increase our electromagnetism for the benefit of our cells, of our organs, of our bodies, and also for our expression in the world. If we want to create something, if we want to cause desirable effects, guess what energy we're going to need? We're going to need Father energy. And if we're going to organize something and bring it into physical form, because that's what we desire to do, guess what we're going to need? We're going to need Mother energy. To be disconnected from Father energy or Mother energy or both is to deny our physical existence. That's how we came to be. Those two that did the tango were delivering their consciousness to us, their energy to us. If we can look for aspects of our Father, human Father this is, to positively relate to, it's going to allow us to open up. Instead of rejecting and defending and being closed and being self-protective because, fill in the blank, minor issues or even major issues, we want to open up to this so we have more energy flowing to us and through us. And as we shift our focus from what our fathers did wrong, we reduce our resistance. And in electrical systems, you already know that. If you have a wire that has tremendous resistance, the only way for energy to flow is you've got to have tremendous power pushing this energy to enable it to flow. We want to reduce this energy resistance or the resistance to the energy in our bodies. We want this energy to flow easily to us and through us. We want it to work in us, for us, and through us. And the thing that interferes with it is resistance, and which I could call rejection. We go, wow, if we reduce our resistance and rejection in our own bodies, guess what? Our foot comes off the brake, we're more causative, we're more creative, we're more giving, we're more willing to extend our energy, our lives change, and of course, the end result of this is we're more loving because we have opened ourselves to the energy of divine love, this loving intelligence, which is aspect of the Father energy. No matter how harshly we may have judged our Father in the past or are busy judging him now, we can now decide to shift our focus. You know, this is a human nature thing to, like, you know, I see something I don't like. What do I have to do? You have to be opposed to it. You got to reject it. You got to be resistant to it, because we think it's on a caveman level. This is going to keep us safer. We don't want to go out of the cave when we hear a growl and start petting this pussycat that we think is out there growling and it turns into a saber-toothed tiger. So human survival really says protection, protection, protection. This is what you have to do. Protection comes way ahead of pleasure. And a person goes, I just want to go out and have fun. And, you know, I think maybe that bloodline has been removed from humanity by this time. So if we're still stuck in that caveman, I got to resist what I don't understand, what seems new to me, what I don't like about my father. We can change that now. We're past that. This is 2013. We should be up to the point where we reckon, you know what? You know what? Resistance and rejection don't really work that well. Love works better. Bonding, caringly, works better. We can do something about that. This, a lot of people are still doing it, and you can see it promoted on the 6 o'clock news and a whole bunch of other people, talking heads and others, thinking, we got to focus on what we dislike. We got to focus on somebody who didn't do what we want them to do, or who is not doing what we want them to do right now, or who are different in some way from us. We got to focus on that. But when we do, we disconnect from this flow of father-mother energy, because we're busy now operating on a much lower vibrational plane. If we listen to the 6 o'clock news, or something we hear from the neighbor over the fence, like we did in the old days, or something we read, and we just, I've got to dislike what they just put in front of me. They gave me an object of attention and told me I need to dislike it. We just gave away control of how we feel and how we live our lives over to whomever was the proponent of that point of view about rejection. And we go, over time, what happens? It affects our health because we have put a tourniquet, we have interfered with, we have diminished this flow of life force that sustains our cells. It's like, so being in this resistant, rejective state, not a good thing, not a good idea. Over the years, I've heard the expression unconditional love, and I always thought of that as like, wow, that's unattainable. And maybe it is, but it can be sought. We can seek after it. We can aspire to it, whether we do it or not. It's like Mount Everest. Not everybody is going to climb Mount Everest, but we can put some goal in front of us that we make progress to. In my belief, we're going to have lots of lifetimes to continue this climb toward unconditional love, toward Christ consciousness. Like, So this approach, rather than resistance and rejection, is probably going to serve me better in this lifetime and in future lifetimes. Let me move in that direction. So let me do that. This idea of unconditional love. And when I think of love and some of the ways it's been promoted to us in early religious training, this is certainly true for me. I hear this tremendous conflict, which makes me dispute and doubt a lot of what I've ever been subjected to from religious education. Listen to these two statements. God is love. Unconditional love. All loving, all knowing, all good. Yep, I got it. Two, God is displeased by the disobedience of its creations. Huh? What happened to love? What happened to unconditional love? Now I'm upsetting God because I used profanity or I didn't go to church today in somebody else's institution? How? There's a conflict there. And it is being afraid of God the Father, I think, is the single greatest plaguing concept in humanity. Being afraid of God the Father. It certainly has been going on for longer than 2,000 years. And that's why sacrificing living things has been a part of pagan cultures and Judaism and Catholicism and the rest of Christianity. human sacrifice or sacrificing animals. Is we gotta keep this God, the all-loving God? The wrathful God, the avenging God, the just God. What happened to all-loving God? They've painted God with a brush with human characteristics, just on a larger scale. They increased the magnitude of these characteristics, but they're human characteristics. It's like, And this stuff, these two conflicting statements seem ludicrous to me. How can a total love experience displeasure? How can this all-loving energy field now be annoyed at behaviors? It looks like a human being made that stuff up and sold it and used it to control other people's behavior. Because now all of a sudden they've induced fear in these other people. Oh boy, oh, they're looking over their shoulder or looking up at a cloud and hoping, I hope I don't get struck by lightning. Hope I don't get struck by lightning. I used to think that as a kid, as I'd walk past a Catholic church wondering when I should bless myself. If I started too soon, was that disrespectful and being disobedient? Or too late, was that being disrespectful or disobedient? Or, kind of goofy. I think we'd be better off if we viewed our connection to Father Energy kind of like our trees would do, or our plants would do with their roots. They reach out through their roots for nourishment, for support, for health, for sustenance. And frankly, deep-rooted trees are being supported, right? And it's like, oh, yeah. All kinds of trees can grow in all kinds of soil. Yeah, those roots. And if we thought, the root is through my Father Energy and my Mother Energy, and the physical representations of those two energies are my physical father, my biological father, and my biological mother. And instead of focusing on their flaws or their foibles or the things about them that didn't immediately give me pleasure or comfort or convenience, instead of focusing on that, I can focus on those instances where they delivered energy to me that was formative and helpful and gave me a sense of direction and a sense of identity. We can use them like a tree would use its roots. And you could look at grandparents if you know anything about them, or you can keep going back. And if you can't know, because they're dead physically, anything about your grandparents, you can pretty much make it up. Because that's what would have been done anyway. You would have made it up if you were standing next to them and listening to them. You would make up a meaning to what they're saying. But we can look at a genealogical chart and recognize what our parents did and what they must have experienced based upon the time frame in which they lived. One set of my grandparents would have originated from Ireland during the potato famine. They made their moves. And from my mother's side of the family, from continental Europe, a land of incessant wars and brutality, man's inhumanity to man, it's like, and they came here, came to the United States. It's like, gee, I wonder if that stuff had any impact on previous generations. Of course it did. Changing our attitude about our physical, biological father and biological mother is important, because that's a great first step, and it makes it easier for us to visualize that, because we can remember them. And we can choose to modify what we've been thinking about and focusing about and the meanings we attribute to our experiences with them. But beyond that, I'm also talking about changing our attitude our mindset, the way we think about the divinely endowed Father Electric Intelligent Love that constitutes part of us. Just think, if I said to you, you have complete access to Father Electric Intelligent Love, help yourself. Take all of it in that you desire. Let it work for you, in you, and through you. Express it in whatever ways are most in alignment with your talents and your passion and your purpose on the planet. You go, that's an exciting possibility. And frankly, I think that's the name of the game. We have access to that. We have access to that. Now it's just a question of understanding that, practicing at it, elevating our own level of awareness so it becomes a reality in our day-to-day life, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we speak, and the way we act. I'm going to recommend a process to you folks. I have the Christ letters on my computer and on my iPad in PDF form, which is how they come. And you can do searches for words or phrases in that. So I wanted to search on this phrase, Father hyphen, because I know it shows up a lot of different times. It shows up as Father Creative Power, Father Love, Father Intelligence Love, and Father hyphen Mother, and so on. So you can search on lots of different things. Lots of different things. And so I wanted to do that, and I made some notes about how that is expressed by Christ in the letters. So you can just imagine a hyphen in here. Father, hyphen, creative power. And he said, it worked through my mind, therefore everything in the universe would be subject to my command. It's like, we are the directors of that energy. It flows to us and through us. But, Father, creative consciousness was perfect protection, nourishment, and fulfillment of need. I asked Father, creative consciousness, for strength. I could lift my thoughts to Father, creative consciousness, and ask for a solution to every problem. It was the ego drive which built barriers between mankind and Father Creative Consciousness. Sincere prayer draws the Father Creative Consciousness into the mind. Quietly, secretly, it cleanses the human consciousness of all the seeker no longer feels comfortable with. Father hyphen intelligence and mother hyphen love, impulse, movement, electricity. And mother love is bonding magnetism. The nature of the Father is to be active, creative, and perform the work of creativity. It is also the I-ness, I-hyphen-ness, of individualized existence. Everything from a hornet to a hippopotamus has a strong sense of I-ness and the need to protect that I-ness. I love that. And there's a lengthy section that I want to read from letter 8 that I just think is great, unless I... Here it is. When you have gained true inner knowledge, you will be able to transcend the emotional baggage. You will be able to meditate and draw upon Father, Mother, Life, and you will feel new energy entering your system, giving you new buoyancy. You will laugh, be more playful, find happiness in little things, love the world, feel brimming gratitude for every little blessing entering your life. You will find the blessings multiplying in your experience and showering your daily path. How does a person behave who has come through to freedom from the ego? Eventually, such a person is totally free of fear. There will be absolute conviction that wherever he goes, he is protected. Although he may go through potentially dangerous experiences, he will emerge unscathed. He will know that he has no need of sword or gun to protect him. He is protected against every negative eventuality wherever he is. He will fear no sickness, since he will know that every built-in device in his system to keep him healthy is fully operative and working efficiently. He will know he will never want for the things needed to make his life happy and comfortable. Continually he will praise and give thanks to Father, Mother, Life for all things already received and will be received in the future. He knows he will be guided to be at the right place at the right time. He also knows he can ask for whatever is needed and the response will come swiftly. But the asking will come from his spiritually enlightened center, and he will never seek for anything selfishly, but will always pray for things within the context of what will be good for his environment, community, family, friends. I love that. I love that information. Wouldn't that be just a wonderful place to be? Father Activity sets the goals. Mother Love directs the way the plans will be developed to promote the highest good of that which is being adapted or healed or protected. I like this. This is my thought. If we have any belief in these words, can't, shouldn't, don't, and so on, and the criticism, and if there was emotional attack that came along with those words, that emotional pain that we would have experienced would have diminished our willingness to be connected to this Father energy, and it would have convinced us that the expression of that Father energy could easily, and maybe even probably, result in pain. And so we tried to restrain that flow of energy. And we can put ourselves in a tremendous disadvantage with that idea. I would suggest that we're going to want to open to this energy, open to our power, open to this power. It's ours to use, but it doesn't originate with us. And if we understand that, there's a whole different ballgame. No question about it, we've got to develop skill in our expression. But we can do it. We can do it with intelligence and love. Loving intelligence and intelligent loving. Those are a couple other ways that Father energy and Mother energy are described by Christ. Loving intelligence and intelligent loving. We would do well to reunite with this aspect of ourselves. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Don't we want all of that? Don't we want all of that? Why would we keep the door to our heart and our mind closed to that? Life, constant support, health, protection, perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration? Yeah, I think we're going to want to open the door and allow that to flow to us and through us. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive, minds, and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.